This is KYUK, public radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Samantha Watson. The village of Kipnuk is at a crossroads. A powerful storm last fall destroyed homes, contaminated water, and left residents with a critical decision: rebuild in the same spot or move to higher ground. As Alonia Nyden with the Alaska Desk reports, the conversation is just getting started.
Kipnuk resident Raina Paul fights back tears as she talks about how the remnants of Typhoon Halon ravaged her village and why relocating is so important for the next generation.
We want them to have a livable life too.
Paul is speaking in English and then Yupik. She says, we have to pick land that is safe if we are to relocate. She shared her thoughts at a recent meeting in Anchorage, where more than 50 Kipnuk residents discussed the future of their community. Village Council President Daniel Paul says it will be up to the residents to decide what's next.
I had many calls from our tribe members. Half of them want to stay, half want to go. The relocation decision will be upon my tribal members, their votes and their voice inputs.
Kipnuk is about 4 miles inland from the Bering Sea coast and was once home to about 700 people. Nearly everyone evacuated after the October storms, many to Anchorage or Bethel. Paul says about 100 residents are back now, working to rebuild. But there is a lot to do. The storm demolished about 150 homes, wiped out vital infrastructure, and left lands and water contaminated. During the meeting, residents spoke predominantly in Yupik, asking what relocation could look like.
Who's dealing with the land? Is anybody working on the land?
They asked about how to choose a new site and secure land ownership. And they pondered what it would take to set up critical infrastructure at the new place. Village Council Vice President Chris Alexei says that would include a school, airport, and health clinic.
This isn't going to be an easy process to do, but we have to do that.
Village officials say working through these questions and through the relocation process can take years. For New Talk, it took decades and well over $100 million. And in Quigilingog, the other village hit hardest by the storm, residents have already voted to relocate, but it is unclear when it will happen and how much it will cost. If Kipnuk decides to move, one potential option is going to Chiching, a spot on higher ground between Kipnuk and Chifornik. It is a historical settlement now owned by Chifornik's Chifornit Corporation. Vice President Larry Kayaryuk says Chifornik relocated itself many years ago and thinks that's why it didn't suffer more damage in the storms. He says his village is open to a conversation about helping its neighbors in Kipnuk.
We have a lot of families from not just Kipnuk, but in Guiluk, Dundudulak, Kong, Nightmood. So I think our community is receptive to hear what they have to say.
He says residents from multiple villages have familial ties to Chiching. Kipnuk elder David Carl says he remembers growing up in Chiching. His family called it Rock Mountain. He says he supports relocating there because the ground is more stable than in Kipnuk.
Being an elder, we're not thinking about ourselves, who we are now. We just want to fight for our upcoming generations.
But for Daniel Paul, Kipnuk is home, and he hopes to live there again one day.
For me, I'm going to stick with Kipnuk regardless of how the situation is. I was raised there and I'll stay there.
Paul says the meeting was just the first step in the relocation discussion and residents have a lot of factors to weigh. But Kipnuk leaders also feel a sense of urgency. Paul says the village expects only one substantial influx of federal funding. To make the best use of it, he says they need to decide soon whether they want to stay or move. In Anchorage, I am Alona Nyden.
The federal government has begun a scoping process that could lead to wide-ranging changes. KOTZ's Desiree Hagen reports that the Trump administration and the review's investigators want more alignment with state rules, which would hurt rural residents' subsistence hunting and fishing rights.
Subsistence is a single word for a complex concept. It's a broad term that includes the harvesting, use, and sharing of wild plants and animals for a variety of purposes and is rooted in Alaska Native culture. Subsistence is at the core of Matthew Anderstrom's existence. He lives in the rural southeast community of Yakutat.
Our ground beef is at $11 a pound. Our milk is about $22 a gallon. And I know we're not alone in this struggle. So if we don't have those subsistence foods, then we lose the ability to even live here anymore.
In May, the Safari Club International, a conservation and big game advocacy group, sent an 18-page petition to the federal government. The letter asked for changes to the Federal Subsistence Management Program, which sets policy and bag limits for hunting, fishing, and trapping on federal lands in Alaska. The group wants more hunting access. John Sturgeon is chairman of government affairs for the Safari Club's Alaska chapter. Sturgeon says the Safari Club's petition instigated the scoping review. He wants more state influence on hunting and subsistence management.
Well, that's one of our very biggest priorities. We think the state should be much more involved.
The Safari Club petition asked the federal program to, quote, require deference to and consultation with the state and the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. That lines up with something President Donald Trump said in an executive order last year. Trump called for the feds to offer hunting and fishing opportunities in Alaska that are, quote, consistent with similar opportunities on state land.
And in an executive order, they had a section on federal subsistence board. And then also the Secretary of the Interior shortly after that had one kind of saying the same thing. They want to see the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, the state of Alaska, have some meaningful input.
This is a red flag for subsistence advocates, like the Alaska Federation of Natives, which opposes potential changes to the subsistence program. Here's why. Alaska is the only state that has a dual management system for subsistence. It means that hunting and fishing are managed by both the state and the federal government. And there are key differences between the two systems. For one, on federal lands, residents of rural Alaska communities have priority when there aren't enough salmon or caribou or deer to go around. But on state lands, there's no such priority. The state has an equal access rule, which means all Alaskans are given equal access to fish and game, whether they live in a large city like Anchorage or a small community like Kivalina. That's because of a 1989 Alaska Supreme Court ruling that found a rural priority on state lands violated the Alaska Constitution.
A subsistence priority for everybody, all residents, is a subsistence priority for nobody. And you can quote me on that.
Cal Cassapit is the vice chair of the Southeast Regional Advisory Council. Cassapit has been involved with the Federal Subsistence Management Program since its inception in 1990. He called the subsistence review ridiculous and believes it's an attempt to strip rural and tribal residents of their subsistence rights. Alaska Fish and Game Commissioner Doug Vincent Lang says the state of Alaska supports the review. The federal scoping review could lead to new rulemaking for many areas of federal subsistence management, including the makeup of the Federal Subsistence Board and regional advisory councils, clarifying inconsistencies between state and federal rules, special actions and emergency closures, and determining what areas are considered rural. The 60-day comment period began in mid-December. February 13th is the deadline for public comment. In Kotzebue, I'm Desiree Hagen.
This is KYUK News. I'm Samantha Watson. Koyana for listening. Please share your news tips, comments, or suggestions. You can email us at news@kyuk.org or message us on Facebook. And stay tuned for Yuktun Gnomche coming up.